puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time again for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Gordon, what are we going to be discussing this week?
Well, good morning, Keisha. We're going to be visiting an interesting facility in rural Manitoba that's in somewhat abandoned state right now that might be described by the phrase quel dommage, plus de fromage. If listeners couldn't understand my poor French pronunciation, that translates to too bad, no more cheese. I'm referring to the former Trappist Monastery near Holland, Manitoba, that for 40 years produced a Manitoba variant of the world-famous Oka cheese.
Okay, I'm getting hungry again. Where does this story begin?
Well, in 1892, a group of monks from Bellefontaine, France, arrived in Manitoba and established a monastery in the sleepy little farming community of St. Norbert, south of Winnipeg. They named it, in English, Our Lady of the Prairies. They had a 1,500-acre farm on the monastery, and this allowed the monks to support themselves for a life of austerity. Conversation between the monks was kept to an absolute bare minimum, apparently so they could concentrate on their prayers. Those prayers began each day at the, I found, ungodly hour of 2:30 a.m.
I agree.
Breakfast was served at 5:30 a.m. Then the monks worked on the farm, tending their livestock, tending their grain crops, their hayland, until 7:30 p.m. So it was a long, hard day of work.
And amongst that long, hard day, they made cheese.
Right. In 1918, they began using the raw milk produced by their herd of 100 Holstein cattle. The cheese pioneered by their brothers in Quebec was renowned for its beautiful texture, its nutty taste, and unique aroma that, at least to some noses, is a little bit funky. Now, Trappist cheese required at least a month of ripening in a special cellar, and its outside rind was hand-washed every second day with a saline solution.
Okay, and you said the monastery was located in St. Norbert, but isn't our conversation for today about the monastery in Holland?
Well, the pastoral life in St. Norbert was gradually threatened as the city of Winnipeg grew outwards to surround it. In 1978, of course, after having been in St. Norbert for about 60 years, the monks moved to a more rural location where they hoped to recapture the quiet tranquility they had once known in St. Norbert. They commissioned a prominent architect here in Winnipeg, a fellow named Jacques Collin, to design for them a modern new building on farmland they had purchased a few miles south of Holland. They left the monastery at St. Norbert, and in 1983, the former church at the monastery in St. Norbert was destroyed by fire. Listeners may have visited its ruins or the nearby former guest house that is still used today by the arts community of St. Norbert.
And the monks carried on their cheesemaking at the new monastery?
Yes, and at this point, we need to acknowledge the key role played by one of the monks in carrying on the proud tradition of Trappist cheesemaking in Manitoba. Georges Brunet, also known as Brother Alberic, was born into a Quebec family of 11 children. When he became a monk at the age of 20, his job was to care for the monastery's herd of dairy cows. In 1967, he was transferred to the monastery at St. Norbert, where he had the distinction of becoming the last monk in North America to make Trappist cheese using traditional methods. In 2017, old age necessitated Brother Alberic's retirement, and there being no young monks to whom he could pass on his methods, instead, he mentored two Manitoba chefs.
And these chefs, they make the same Trappist cheese as Brother Alberic?
Well, by and large, yes, but they made a few modifications, mostly in using pasteurized milk, because getting government approval to make it according to the original recipe with raw milk was going to be too onerous and costly. They couldn't call their cheese Trappist or Oka, so instead they sold it under the name Golden Prairie cheese. Now, one of those chefs is still making and selling the cheese through specialty outlets around Manitoba, and he may be the last person to know the secret of making Trappist cheese, because about 4 weeks ago, Brother Alberic died.
Oh, wow. Your clue also said that we were talking about former Trappist monastery. Is it closed?
Right, it is. The monastery closed in 2018 when the last six remaining monks, including Brother Alberic, moved to a retirement facility at Notre-Dame-de-Lourdes. Its closure was the result of two factors. One, the simple fact that people are not embracing the monastic life in the numbers they did a century ago. You know, people just aren't becoming monks and nuns like they used to. The other factor was a decision by the monastery to remain unilingually francophone into the 1990s. And by that time, most of the men wishing to join the monastery were Anglophones from Western Canada. So I guess they just didn't feel comfortable in a facility where they couldn't speak their native language all the time.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to the former monastery?
The property was put up for sale by the Archdiocese of St. Boniface, with, I'm told, the condition that it would have to be used by whatever new owner it had for religious purposes. Well, in 2021, the monks who had been buried in the monastery cemetery were disinterred and moved to a cemetery in St. Norbert so they could fully abandon the site there near Holland. In late 2021 or early 2022, I'm not quite sure, the buildings and property were sold to St. Mark Coptic Orthodox Church here in Winnipeg. That's a Christian congregation made up mainly of ethnic Egyptians, Ethiopians, and Eritreans.
And what condition is the monastery in right now?
Well, last weekend, I was given a rare opportunity to tour the former monastery, thanks to the kindness of the church's priest who was there that day. I was given a very thorough tour, seeing places that would have been definitely off limits when the monks were in residence. You know, there were only certain places that guests were allowed to go when they were there. Well, I found there was a lot left behind, you know, including a number of signs that reminded the monks to remain quiet. Remember, they had that oath of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
They left behind pots and pans in a large commercial kitchen. And perhaps most significantly, at least for a bibliophile like me, they left behind thousands of books in a wonderful library. Now, not surprisingly, given that the main building at the monastery is 44 years old, there are things that need attending to. For example, it has a flat roof that tends to cause water to pool rather than run off. And we saw numerous places around the building where water infiltration into the building had occurred. There's also a small chapel on the grounds, and although it's quite modern looking, it had the distinct look and smell of a building in which, well, let's just say birds had roosted just a little too long inside. There was also a two-story brick house that I think dates to the early 20th century that was probably the house of the family who farmed the land before the monks bought the property, and it has sustained water damage from some burst pipes. So all in all, there's quite a lot of work that the church is going to have to do to bring back the facility.
And Gordon, what are the church's plans for the site?
Well, they want to make it a retreat center for religious scholars. Presently, their Sunday school students and their scouts are using it on weekends. But the priest that I met told me that among the plans the church has is they want to renew making cheese there again, although it won't be the oka type for which the Trappists were known. There is going to be a lot of work ahead to restore the former monastery. But in the meantime, there is an exciting development for listeners who may be interested in seeing the former monastery for themselves.
Oh, what is it?
Well, St. Mark Church will be holding an open house next Saturday, the 27th of August. Now, there is one catch. People who want to see it must register as soon as possible by calling the church. Their number is 204-478-6743. Or sending email to info@stmark.ca. It's a wonderful place to visit. I would heartily recommend it. Anybody wants to see it, next Saturday is your opportunity.
Amazing. And if for whatever reason our listeners don't remember, just give us a shout at weekend@cbc.ca and we will email you those details. Now, Gordon, can you give us a hint about next week's episode?
Well, our topic, although firmly set here in Manitoba, is connected with musician Bob Dylan. It's also connected with former Canadian Prime Minister Arthur Meighen, the city of London in England, and the color blue.
Sounds very cool and even a little mysterious. Thanks for that, Gordon.
You're welcome. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.
And that's Gordon Goldsborough with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places right here in our province of Manitoba. And you can see the photos of the abandoned places that Gordon talks about every weekend on the Manitoba Historical Society website, mhs.ca.